All right, we will note. Thank you, Tom, for joining. Can we just go, first of all, I'm going to call the meeting. Thank you very much. And can we just go around to make sure that we all know who's on the meeting? Give your name. Thank you.
Jen, I'll start. Jennifer LeBrun.
Hi, this is Brittany Yancey.
Michelle Weaver.
Phil Hewitt.
Jeff Leek.
I guess you noticed.
John Hale. Oops.
Ingrid Kennedy.
I don't think I've heard all 12 people.
There's two members that are not joining us today, and that is Mr. Porth and Ms. Russell Tucker.
Okay, then you've heard for the record everybody else confirmation that they are in the meeting.
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm asking, do we have any public comment?
No, we do not.
Okay, great. I'm going to assume that everybody has had an opportunity to review the minutes of March 31. They were, I think, sent to us electronically. Mm-hmm. If that is the case, I'd like to have a motion that those minutes be approved.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and second that the minutes be approved. In making the motions, and even in when we speak, if you could identify yourself as a spokesperson, that'll be helpful to me now that I since I still don't have visual contact, but also helpful for the record keeper as well. Do we have the quorum necessary for executive session, Jen?
Yes, we do.
All right. Having said that, I'd like to have a motion that we go into executive session to consider personnel matters.
So moved, Liz Brown.
Second, Agnes Quiñones.
Thank you. All right.
Let's see if I can get this to work. We're going to go into a breakout session. So let's.
All right. Will I be connected to the breakout session?
I hope you will be.
I hope so, too.
Okay, let's give this a shot here.
Let's just make the arrangement first. If not, Jen, can you give me a call on either, probably on my cell phone number to connect me to the group?
Sure thing.
Okay, great. All right.
But I do think we should be okay. Let's give it a go.
Okay, great.
So we should join.
Yep, you'll be receiving a notification and just join. Yes, I believe that works.
Nice job, yes.
Great.
So how long are they gonna be gone?
She didn't.
Oh, that's Mr. Port.
Oh, okay, hang on, let me assign him. Okay, he's gonna get a message to go right in. Excellent, okay. Michelle did not indicate a length of time, so I didn't give her.
Okay, make sure that Mr. Port is unmuted before he goes.
Yes. I had everybody be able to unmute themselves after that. Okay.
So I think he's still with us.
He has not joined yet, let's see.
Okay.
Can you see my screen? You can see the breakout room portion? Okay.
In the team, you have to click the link to go into the other session.
Oh, there he is again. He probably signed in again.
All right, let me just see. Mr. Porth, can you hear us? Try unmuting him, Jen, if you can, from your control. He's not muted.
Probably the internet access, because he's showing there twice now, and one is muted and one is not, it looks like.
Let's see. Yeah, you're right, Crystal. He's there twice now. He's unmuted on both. Mr. Porth, can you hear us?
Oh, he's gone. You might have sent him to the...
Maybe he accepted it.
Okay.
I hope.
You sent him to the principal's office.
He's in the virtual law
world. I was going to say, it was in between rooms.
Exactly.
Dave, you are muted.
What's that?
Can you first show us the full agenda?
I have so many things on my screen. It's not showing. Is that okay? Do you see it all full now?
No.
Just scroll down a little.
Oh, this way. How's that?
Yeah. What's the personnel matter?
It's about the future of your executive director.
I'm sorry, did I miss a question?
I was answering Steve. I don't know if he heard me.
Oh, I did not. I'm sorry.
Oh, there's George. Oh, they're back.
George, are you there?
I am.
Was the breakout, was the executive session through?
No, I'm hold for a second. I finally got video connection, but I don't know that I'm in the, I don't think that I'm in the executive session.
So let me.
Nor is Richard.
Okay, so I'm going to send you, you're both going to receive an invitation to go into a breakout room, and that should take you right over to the executive session.
I think okay. Richard and I are waiting,
yep,
to get
I'm going
to
send them now.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay, good. Go ahead. Don't worry about me because I... Yeah, okay.
Okay, you sent Richard already.
Yes, now they're both there.
George is still here? No.
No.
Patience is a virtue with Zoom, isn't it?
Ugh, it sure is. Oh,
okay, he's gone.
Isn't it? Ugh.
All right, George is there. Everyone's there now.
I had a meeting with Holly this morning. She had such bad connection in her house. And so I can hear her. She couldn't hear me. Oh.
But that happened to me last week, Friday, with Teams. Sierra and Kim Travers and Charlene have to give me technical assistance with Teams.
Yeah.
Yes, I can hear them all, but they could not hear me. It was just like, oh.
Oh, we had a problem with that last week. I just finally send Jay Brown and Brian were so frustrated. They said, we're canceling Teams, and can you just send us a Zoom? They couldn't deal with it anymore. It's a clunky system, Teams.
Actually, I like that. Once you become familiar, it's the same thing. You're just becoming familiarized,
but sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's glitchy sometimes.
Got it. Wow.
Weekend has messed up my kids' schedule.
As far as school or sleeping or everything?
Everything. No sleep, no school. The little one was just ringing her crash register next to me. I'm like, go over there. You and Minnie Mouse.
So it was mentioned that everyone state their name. Okay, so I did that. George did that. Good. This was this. Hello.
We're back to the main. Where are the other people?
Yes, we're going back to the breakout session for a few minutes. We're going back out to the breakout session.
Okay. Hi, Christy.
Hello, all. It's glad to see. It's nice seeing you again. I think that the timer on our executive session went out, and so I hope that we can reconvene that session. Jen, is that possible?
Yes, it looks like. In a second.
What did it give us? 5 minutes.
Everybody else is gone, so
okay.
You just have to send George back.
Okay, I have to join, rejoin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I think he's frozen.
I'm going to have to close it.
Was he able to go?
George, are you still there?
Oh, he's gone.
Okay. I think I'm ready to go back to the office.
Back.
Everybody back?
Are we, yeah.
Oh, just waiting on George.
And Mr. Porch. Oh, here is.
Okay.
Let me see. Is everybody back?
Everybody should
be back. I think so. Are we all back?
Are you back, George?
Yeah, we are. Thank you very much.
Where's George? Oh, I did. Yeah.
Okay, I'm here. Thank you. Do we need a motion to reconvene or to?
Yes.
We need a. What is that motion to rejoin the?
Make a motion meeting? To return to the regular order of business.
Right.
I move. I may I have a motion to? Did you, Liz? Would you
make a motion to return to the regular order of business?
Okay.
I second that.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great. Excellent. May we have a motion regarding the executive session?
Sure. I move the acceptance of a new 3-year contract for the executive director as discussed in executive committee, in an executive session.
Right.
Second?
Second. Second.
Thank you.
Right.
All in favor of the motion, let it be known by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any objecting, saying nay. Thank you. I think the motion is passed.
Yes.
Hearing no nays. Thank you. We'll move on to the committee reports.
Steve, would you like to go ahead with the program?
Yes, Steve, please. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Yeah, Jen, can you let me share my screen?
I want to remind the board that I might have to go off near 1 o'clock, in which case I've asked Liz, or hope that Liz will be prepared to conduct the remaining of the meeting for me until I return.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, so we had a meeting, we did an update on our meeting last week for the program committee. I know that George and Ingrid couldn't be in the room, but Brittany and I had a really nice conversation about what CIRC has been doing from closure on March 16th through June 30th. So much of our work that we've been doing at CIRC is actually recreating a lot of our trainings between now and June 30th into virtual trainings. Many of our activities that were IDEA funded were really needing to be done in a virtual format. So CIRC has been really engaged in doing that work, along with being very responsive to the Bureau of Special Education and the State Department of Education's needs around coordinating stakeholder meetings, holding sessions, setting up Zoom webinars for the State Department of Ed and the Bureau of Special Education to get a lot of input regarding many of the different challenges and priorities around special education, around equity, and around online instruction, and on special education guidance for directors of special education. So that has been a really big part of our work that we've been doing. In addition, we are also preparing to our budget and our programming budget around for 2020-2021. So we are working with, Christy and I are working with the Bureau of Special Education to ensure moving forward with what the specific programming activities will be, and in support of building our budget that's got to be, you know, passed by the board and by the State Department of Ed for 2021. So those have been our primary programming responsibilities. We continue to be responsive to school districts, even though on March 2016, a lot of our work that we had district contract work pretty much stopped because we couldn't get into districts to do any training or technical assistance. So based on the individual district, we, our consultants, are working directly with those districts to do some virtual trainings or technical assistance sessions based on their specific needs.
May I just interrupt you just for a moment, just to say that a part of what our concern is and a part of what Ingrid and Steve have been able to at least allay my anxiety about is, one, those obligations that we have this year, to the extent that we can satisfy them, we have either satisfied them or reached an accommodation with the districts to the extent that it does not impose a financial liability on the agency. And the last thing is that the environment, at least as it's currently being assessed by Ingrid and Steve, is that there is a healthy agenda of activities coming from the department that will support the budget that we expect coming into the next year. So that was a part of the program that I was particularly concerned about, and that I had asked Steve to make sure that you were, that you had the benefit of the assurance that I have been given today. Things may change, but the current environment has at least allowed us to sustain what we're doing and develop some sense of appreciation that we will have an active agenda sufficient to support the goals of the organization as we move forward.
Our challenge is a lot of the uncertainties with regards to how school is going to look in the fall is we have to be very flexible in most likely shifting to more of an online professional learning platform, which we're becoming very, I think, really skilled and adept at doing and continuing to grow and improve every day. But the way it looks is most likely we're going to be having to go into that format, given many of the uncertainties around and around the health and requirements with in reference to the schools and districts.
Great. I'm also thinking about this. I don't know what others. I do think that the future will be radically different.
Oh, yeah.
I think that we are learning things about distance learning, about virtual learning, that will be incorporated in a much more vigorous way in our future. So as we think about, you know, particularly the move and how we configure our work, I think the reality of virtual learning will be a part of that design. And Steve, thank you very much for the work that you and your colleagues at CERC have done to sustain the confidence of the public in CERC's ability to deliver high quality professional development, even in this environment.
Well, I want to just share under Ingrid's and Edmund McKnight's leadership, the Commissioner's Network was a classic example. That work, it was starting right before we went into school closure, and those were going to be all in district live sessions, and we shifted and moved those to those schools, which are going to be virtual technical assistance or webinar type formats for their professional learning to continue, because that work had to be completed by June 30th based on their funding formula.
Another example is what Ingrid had shared with me about the work of the curriculum. And that it has moved forward, you know, in spite of everything and with the participation of the committees as well. So I think those examples are reassuring to us that the work is moving forward.
Well, Ingrid, in that curriculum committee team, Michelle, Nitsa, and Bequita have worked, and Wanda, who's one of the project specialists, have worked really hard in creating these neat Zoom experiences where they've been able to get a variety of stakeholders input as part of the curriculum development planning for this work. So Zoom has been an essential tool for us to get to keep that work moving forward.
Any questions of Steve, board members?
This is Brittany. I don't have a question, George, but I did just want to make a quick comment.
Thank you.
I do just want to say again, Stephen, to Cirque, and all of you who are working so hard, your comment and your report shared in the meeting was so encouraging to see how Cirque in this moment is delivering on several fronts. And so I really love the way that not only our community has responded to you, but also at the state level, the role that Cirque is playing in this moment. And you know, from curriculum just to engagement to stakeholders, districts, I just wanted to stay here in the meeting on record. What a great job.
Thank you.
And that goes to the whole CERC program participants, all of the consultants.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
To everyone.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
With that, I think that we can move to the Finance Committee.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Glenn Hale.
Hi, Glenn.
Glenn, which sheet?
Hey, everybody.
You can bring up the balance sheet.
Excuse me. I don't know about the others, but I'm not getting the split screens. The thing that's on my screen is still. Oh, right. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. So the Finance Committee met last week. It was a brief agenda. We quickly went over the April financial statements, and then for the remainder of the meeting, we basically focused on the cash flow concerns of the agency and, you know, trying to determine how we'll make it through the rest of the fiscal year. Quickly on the balance sheet, as of the end of April, $655,000 in cash, just shy of $700,000 in receivables, and capital assets of just shy of $265,000. Nothing out of the ordinary, unusual on any of the asset side items. Same holds true for the liabilities. Accounts payable, $58,000. That's just normal operating activities, vendor payables. Accrued payroll and related liabilities, $63,000. That's just employee benefit obligations that are pending. And due to funding sources of $39,500, that is just some miscellaneous small balances from prior years for, you know, unused grant funds that are yet to be resolved, but nothing material, nothing major, nothing out of the ordinary with any of those items either. So total liabilities were $162,000. Total net assets just shy of $1.5 million. So balance sheet, nothing unusual there. And the main focus of this sheet is really the cash status and the receivable status. And the bulk of the meeting was discussed of that $700,000, over $600,000 is due from CSDE. And those are for invoices, some of which are dating all the way back to November. November, December, there are some small invoices. January through March, there are very large invoices pending. And we have subsequently since billed for April activities. So now that receivable from the state is now $923,000. With that being said, we do not know why the state is not paying the invoices, but it has created an undue burden on CERC, and our cash flow is heavily constrained at this point. Based on the balances that we're currently carrying, we can make two, maybe three more payrolls and pay our normal office and utility type expenses. But then at that point, we will be out of cash. myself, my staff, and Ingrid multiple times have reached out to multiple contacts at the state inquiring of the status of our payments, and all we get back is they're in process, we're working on it, but no payments come. So bringing that to the level of the Finance Committee last week and bringing this to the level of the full board, if anybody has any suggestions or comments, I'm welcome to hear them at this point.
May I just ask, I don't have a suggestion, may I have a comment. Are those receivables largely out of federal accounts or SDE federal accounts or state accounts?
The larger invoices are federal, they're IDEA money. So those are invoices in excess of $200,000 each. And then there are some smaller balances that are from state money. So the bulk of it is federal money.
Comment, I suggested at the Finance Committee meeting that maybe we could enlist the help of Charlene to facilitate a conversation with the fiscal office in the department to figure out what's the hold up with the payment. Because we got a payment when in March, was it that you said, Glenn? We got a March or April payment, but the others haven't come in yet.
Yeah, they actually paid one invoice. They paid the February invoice, but they never paid January and they haven't paid March. And now they have April, which they haven't paid either. So don't understand the rationale for their decision making. Ingrid has had extensive conversations with Charlene and others regarding this situation and between phone calls and emails and so on. And, you know, I don't know if Ingrid has anything further to expand upon that.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, board members. It's good to see you all. Just to provide a perspective in this conversation, the urgency, as Glenn mentioned it through the Finance Committee as well from my perspective regarding the dwindling of the funds to be able to cover our payroll and benefits and every other expense from the organization this far. I have engaged in conversations with Charlene. She is very aware. She has sent communications to the chief operating officer, the chief finance officer, and the division director that is the person responsible under our memorandum of agreement. So those conversations have taken place. And actually, even today, I also sent an email just to remind everyone where we are, it being very clear about the fact that we are only right now have enough cash at hand to cover up to two payroll. Serious right now. So I'm hoping to hear from them. I was hoping that Charlene was going to join the meeting, but the last minute she got called by the commissioner for a reopened Connecticut meeting. So that's the reason why she's not here with us today. But I'm hoping that we'll be able to hear from them soon. As I mentioned, I have been in communications with Kathy Dempsey and Brian Klankowitz to be able to let them know the urgency. We were in this situation about a month and a half ago. And that's when I started turning the wheels, sending emails to everyone, and we received the payment, that invoice. What I'm concerned about, and this is one of the things that it was mentioned, trying to figure out why they were not able to pay the invoices. And one of the things that I learned behind the scenes is that apparently they're at the beginning was not everyone had access to, as we have, to technology. Not everybody had access to work from home. So they will still have to go to the office and sign invoices when we send them and mail them. So now they have developed a system in order to be able to do that, to sign the invoices electronically. So they have transferred into that system. So I'm hoping that this will accelerate the process for us. In the communication that I have shared with all of them, I have asked if there's anything that we need to do on our end in order to be able to get those invoices paid, which is very interesting because there is no lack of program. You know, we have a lot of dollars committed to us, so I'm not worried about program. What I'm concerned right now is to be able to make payroll at this point. So as I mentioned to Glenn the other day, we have a month right now, so we have a little wiggle room, but we need to get those wheels turning right now. So that's what I'm beginning to do, the same thing I did last time, and hopefully being able to set up a process with all of them to be able to be in a better cycle for to receive those payments.
Thank you.
Sure.
Can we move on?
Well, just one other thing. Is Brian Klimkowitz has just met with our consultants. We're already well into our conversations and planning for 2021 for programming. So those conversations are already well into place. So those are some of the challenges I know that we're facing at this point, because we're already talking about what's happening for next year, and yet we're in this position right now to close out this year.
Thank you, Inge, for that information.
Glenn, were you ready to move on?
Yep.
Great.
Okay. So the next statement is a statement of revenue and expense. First column is the original budget, which was approved last year for this current fiscal year. And at that time, the anticipated revenue was just shy of 5.8 million. Through April, we're at just about 4.3 million, naturally due to the shutdown and the change in operating activities and so on. We will not achieve that targeted budget. We still have activities going on, and we will continue to recognize revenue over the next couple of months, but we will not obtain that total budget. As far as the expense side goes, for the most part, the expenses are on track within budget and on the right trend. Naturally, many of those will not reach their targeted budget either, which is a good thing because, you know, revenue and expense should offset and be on the same pace. So, right now, we're showing as of the end of April a little bit of a shortfall of about $25,000. We're hoping to close that gap over some, you know, cost-saving initiatives and other things for the last couple of months of the year. And, you know, we'll hope to break even or do better. But considering under the circumstances, you know, it's definitely a tough year to manage against. As Steve just mentioned, you know, we have verbal commitments from the state regarding next year's budget. And Ingrid has had conversations where they've indicated at least level funding. So to match the budget we had for this current fiscal year will be, you know, verbally agreed to for next year at this point in time. So Ingrid, myself, and the staff were working on putting together those budgets and getting them over to the state for approval. And we'll coming back to the finance committee and this full board probably for a special meeting at some point in June, to get those approved budgets approved by the board so we can have operating budgets effectively manage the organization beginning July 1st. I don't know if anybody has any questions or feedback.
Thank you very much. I'm wondering, when would we expect to have this budget modified to reflect what the actuals are going to be? Will that be June or July or what?
In June, I'll have it for you. Yep.
Okay, so next month we will look for a modification in these lines to reflect the balanced budget for the 2020 school year, program year. Right.
Correct.
Other questions or comments relative to finances?
Josh, if I could only add. One of the things that I want for the members of the board to know, and this was why I guess aspect of some of the frustration, but the reality is the reality. I felt the CERC's year, we were heading in a terrific direction in fiscally. If you get to see the committee funds, which is the second line on what has been presented to all of you, the budget was 5.7, the committed funds was 7.1. So we were definitely, our services were requested, are being requested at a high level. However, because of our current situation where we are, we find ourselves right here. So I just want to overlap that with the conversation, the comment I made earlier. We are not lacking program, where the concern right now is the invoicing in our cash at hand. And I also do anticipate some of the services coming to us next fiscal year. And I will touch upon that on my reports in a few minutes. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Thank you.
I'd like to request, at a part of our next meeting, Ingrid, you spend some time thinking about sharing with the board, how the changed environment affects our program delivery platform, our program delivery. How does this virtual situation, how do we do it? What are those tools that you have that are particularly effective? And maybe some thought about what is the level of investment that we might need to make in next year if in order to be proactive relative to this situation next year. All right?
Yes, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Operations Committee, I think the Operations Committee, Liz?
We've already met. We've given our report.
Thank you very much. I thought that was the case, but I didn't want to be preemptive. All right, great. With that, we'll hear a report from the Executive Director. Again, some of these, I think she's already telegraphed to you, but to the extent that you can give us more details, that's a good thing. Ingrid?
Yes, thank you, George. I'm going to do this as fast, as quick as possible, because I know some of you have to leave. In light of some of the concerns regarding the program that we needed to cancel, the accommodations that we needed to make with the school districts, I wanted to take advantage of the fact that the dollars that were coming to the state regarding the CARES Act, the $111 million, in addition to that, the funds that were specifically coming to the governor's office for the governor to be able to designate for higher education and other educational agencies. So I sent a letter to the governor dated August, you all have the copy of that letter. Let me just.
Yeah.
April 24th.
Thank you. It's too many days in my head. Yes, it was dated April 24th to really actually presenting ourselves as this quasi-entity, letting them know that because of our status, we were not able to apply for the small business loans. And there was no way that we were going to be able to apply for them. We did not qualify. Because I did not receive a response from the letter, I sent a follow-up letter. You know, being very trying to do as professional as I could, saying, you know, I know you're very busy with everything that is going on. I sent another letter dated May 13. I did receive a response from that particular communication from the Office of the Governor, apologizing for the fact that they have not responded. But then we also received, I don't know how you were aware about the priorities from the State Department of Education, from Commissioner Cardona. CERC was mentioned specifically on those priorities. In the letter, the communication that I received from the governor's office was that they were going to be directing our question to the particular entity they're supposed to be supporting CERC. So I'm associating that response with the fact that we are part of this communication. I have sent communication to Dr. Cardona, asking him, they're looking forward to be able to support, to get together with him, to be able to determine what this looked like for CERC. Throughout all these conversations, I needed to make our staff aware of the reality. We are very fortunate that we're still operating, but the fact is, without program for the future, without any clarity of what the agency was going to go or any invoices being paid, I needed to alert them of the possibility of some furloughs starting July 1st. So the staff is aware of that. I'm hoping that we don't have to go to that place, especially now the circus name as a priority, and we are getting phone calls right now about providing support to the state. But I wanted to give you all that information all at once, which is going to link me to the next item that is specifically about the work of the Public Act 1912. As George mentioned, we are continuing that work as nonstop, even though that we engage in some conversations at the department level in case that we might need to take advantage of some of those orders from the governor regarding delaying some of these contracts and some of these efforts. But we are moving forward. The department is aware, Dr. Cardona is aware that we are moving forward. He's very excited about the fact. The legislators are very excited and our community is excited that this work has not stopped. So I will continue to provide you with updates. As Steve mentioned, the team is doing an amazing job using these platforms that have been available to us to continue to reach out to the community and gather the input from youth. Every curriculum, every subcommittee is doing the work. So we're very excited that we're still on course to be able to meet our obligation. I'm going to, the next item that I want to talk to all of you about, and it's about our future location.
I ask a question before you go there. Did we didn't have any employees who had to apply for unemployment insurance, did we?
No, George, we did not do any furloughs. We've been operating, yes.
Great, thank you.
Is great. Yes, great news. And I actually could add through all this is, through this time, from the moment that we needed to put in effect the stay-at-home policy from CERC. We are teleworking, the full agency teleworking. I have had the opportunity to do brief meetings with almost every member of the staff, 15 minutes, just to touch base with them to see what they, how they're doing. I do weekly meetings every Monday. We meet, just provide updates. And I have to say one of the biggest concerns, well, first of all, what I hear from the staff, how grateful they are that we're still operating and that we have accommodated the operation in order to be able to continue to move forward. So that's item number one. And item number two is some of the concerns regarding going back to the office. And I will address that in a few minutes. But in general, the staff is very grateful and very thankful to the members of the board for the advocacy that has taken place in order for us to continue to be in the position that we are in providing the service. So I wanted to provide you a quick update regarding the CERC's future location. That has not come to a pause. It still continue. We continue to be in negotiations with the Nogota Valley Corporation. What they were waiting for, it was for the architect's final numbers. So for the Nogota Valley to have the bid out. And it is my understanding from the Department of Administrative Services that that is already starting. So a couple of companies are going into the building to take a look at it and see, you know, the final cost. I know that that's what DAS was waiting for. So we're still hopeful that Waterbury continues to be the future for us. However, given what George mentioned regarding what we will look like in the future, that is something that we might have to continue to engage in conversations about how we are going to be organizing that new location in order to meet exactly, in order to meet the needs of the future for the organization. Which is gonna lead me to the next piece. And George, to your comment regarding some of the things about the change of the environment, we have developed an internal task force and we call it the task force Preparing CERC for the Future. The reality is that this pandemic, this crisis for an organization that does business in person and provide service, professional development, and we bring individuals into the room and that's what we do. We needed to really begin to think about what is that going to look like for us in the future? Things that we're learning about the different platforms that exist. The other day I was doing, as a request from the department, a Zoom meeting and I was trolling, that somebody just got into the meeting and began to use some very awful language. So really? Things that we need to think about safety, security, about participants and all of us providing the service as well. So the goal of this task force, and I'm going to share that with you, is the charge is guided by the premise of safety first. The members of the task force will assist CERC in developing a strategic and concrete plan of action. The development of the plan will ensure a safe work and operational environment as the agency prepares to transition into the future, aim the pandemic, after the pandemic, and to establish prevention measures to reduce the risk of future COVID outbreaks. So the reality is we have to think about how we operate in the midst of what's happening, how do we operate after this settles, and how that we operate to ensure that we are not creating environments in which we're contributing to a future outbreak. So volunteer, very engaged members of the organization moving forward with some of those things that we need to do as an agency to be able to continue to provide the service. The reality is our service are needed. The phone calls continue. As mentioned by Steve, the work with the Commission on Network Schools, this is something that we have always been trying to provide services and support, and now here we are. We have contracts with some of the districts already, specifically to this work. I engaged in a conversation with Deputy Commissioner Desi Nesmith the other day, and he said, Ingrid, what did you need from the department? I said, all we need from you is to name CERC as one of your entities to be able to provide support to school districts. That has a lot of weight. And that's exactly what happened with the Commission on Network Schools. The email that went to all those schools was, you need to work with CERC in order to be able to do this service. And those are the phone calls that we receive in. So we are very excited about that. One of the things that we're also experiencing is the immediate 24 reaction of some of the requests. They come in and we need to turn it around quickly. because of the services that are needed. So we are moving forward, and the task force is looking at every single aspect of the agency about safety, the environment, the safety of our staff, the safety of our participants, how clean is our environment, all those pieces. And we're hoping to get the badge from the governor that says that we can put on our door that we said that is COVID approved, safety approved. So we're looking for those things. So
Ingrid,
I just want to interrupt.
I think that those are great prospective things to do. And as you're thinking about it in terms of this state of the art capacity to continue to provide educational services in an environment of a catastrophe, that we also identify what you might need or what you would recommend that particularly our most severe districts need in order to benefit from the innovations that CERC intends to make. Because a part of what we've learned through this catastrophe are the inequalities, the inequities of school districts. And I think that if we will move to a more sophisticated, a more reliable platform that offers an alternative, then we probably would share that with DESE as well, so that they can begin to think about how do they equip their school districts, particularly those who are most likely to be under-resourced, so that they can benefit from the assets that we are cultivating.
Thank you, Josh. Definitely taking note. And I blended both the COVID-19 updates for all of you, because that's part of a lot of the work that we're doing, and also the task force. So this will be part of the work that the task force is going to be engaged. We meet weekly to be able to develop that plan. One of the things that this crisis has definitely shown us that teleworking, we are operating. We're operating. So I know that, the concept of these brick and mortar establishments is going to be changing for us. You know, when I think about, I'm able to meet with the staff on a regular basis. You know, sometimes I feel that I'm busier now than I ever did. I get to see the staff now more often than before, because we're right
just
there.
Drop in, yeah.
That holds true for everybody doing telework, trust me.
Exactly. Yeah. So one of the things that I'm encouraging the staff is the flexibility to do self-care, because the reality is the expectation can never be in front of the computer 7.5 hours, especially with all the challenges that many of our colleagues are experiencing, as all you all know, not only being working full-time, but also being teachers, parents, doing it all. So that's some of the things that we encourage them for them to be able to do the self-care piece and to manage how they are able to accomplish their tasks during the day. And I have to be honest with you, all the feedback that I'm receiving from our partners is, CERC, is you are doing such a great job. Most recently, just Friday, the Office of the Commissioner sent communication to all the superintendents about a series of sessions the CERC is going to be doing specifically about equity. And one of the things that I have communicated with the staff is equity cannot be put in pause. That's who we are, that's what we do. So therefore we need to keep it at the forefront, because as you mentioned, George, this pandemic, this crisis has shown what we've been speaking about for years. Included inequities that exist. And therefore now is the time to really, I think the way I see it is the opportunity.
It's not just inequities between who have things and who don't have it, but the inequity in the instructions in terms of what's the position of kids in our poorest districts to be ready, to have the tools that enable them to meaningfully engage in distant or remote learning. Mm-hmm. There's a tremendous amount of disparity between the readiness of the kids in poor communities and how kids in more affluent community are prepared to use and benefit from these new environments.
And I will add to that the parents layer, the inability of many of our most vulnerable families in all communities
to play the role
to deal with it, to embrace it, to get their heads around technology and the demands that that requires. So I will add to that.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
If I also would like to add the one to the aspect about the families and the inequities and the access. The session that we did last week for Reopen Connecticut to gather the feedback for families to be submitted to the State Department of Education. Every single email was, I receive every single email from parents, and I have read every single email and I have responded to every single email. To me, what the parents are saying is exactly what we're talking about the inequities, about the access, about the things that they are seeing themselves not able to really do for their children, but want to do and understand the fact why we are all in this position. So we have great data right now because I have those letters and I submitted in a report to the State Department of Education, but I have every single letter and they are amazing, talking about inequities in access and what is needed for them to be able to feel comfortable enough knowing that when schools reopen, their child is safe. And, you know, it's just so much information. So this is the future of CERC. We have a lot of data. To your point, George, or how do we provide service? Because there is going to be a huge need out there to be able to reorganize ourselves on some of those things that were familiar to us, and yet what is the new for us as well. And I think that that concludes my reports, and I just wanted to have Michelle Weaver just to touch base with all of you regarding the Notice of Statement of Financial Interest that needs to be filed. Michelle.
Thank you, Ingrid. Just very quickly, each of you should have gotten a notice from the Connecticut Office of Ethics regarding the Statement of Financial Interest. If you did not, please let me know. Weaver at ctcert.org, and I'll make sure that you get the necessary information. The typical deadline is May 1. This year has been extended till July 1. So you have until July 1 to file your Statement of Financial Interest regarding 2019 finances. This applies to all of our board members. So far we've had three. As of last Friday, we had three board members out of 11, I think, that filed, out of 11 required filers. So we have a little ways to go, but we've got just over a month to get it done. So if you have questions, please reach out to me. If you didn't get the notice from Ethics, let me know, and I can forward it. She sent me a copy of what she sent out to required filers, so I can forward that to you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Who exactly will the email be from? What will be?
It would be from the Office of Ethics. It could be from Nancy Nicolescu.
Thank you.
It's not from her, just from Office of Ethics.
Thanks.
Because I had missed it before, and I appreciate your sending it again, because it's your document that I'm likely to be working from, because I had no idea. I didn't see Office of Ethics in any of the message lines that had come to me, but it could have gone to my other office as well. So anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate that, both Michelle and Ingrid. Any questions of Ingrid?
Just quickly.
Sure.
So in terms of our future location, Given the fact of the conversation that we've already had about changing workspaces and so forth, as we look at that future location, are we looking at the flexibility or the ability to be flexible to make sure that we either don't have more space than we need, but we have the right space that we do need, et cetera? And I'm sure that's part of the conversation, just a quick overview of that, if you would.
Sure, Jeff, thank you. Definitely that is part of the conversation. Within the last couple of months, we have been, well, since this started, taking a look at what is the particular needs for space. The library, you know, thinking about the resources that we are going to hold and how that's going to happen. That's going to be part of the task force, looking at how we operate, how many sessions we're going to be able to hold, how many members of the staff will be in the space. So those are all the items that we're being addressing, Jeff. I feel that we right now, the space that we are right now, and this is one of the things that I said to the staff, there's no way we can go back to the office. There is not 6 feet between the separation of our desks. It is not even, it's like, there's no way that we're going to be able to go back to the office, not even under phase two, if we're thinking about the June deadline, because we will have to reconfigure every single, if you think about the picture of CERC, think about the library, the desk of the two individuals, they're not even six feet apart. So the space that we're going to use is about to accommodate the distancing and also sessions that we're going to be able to have accounting for that distancing as well for the public. You know, when I'm thinking about the faces for reopening, when they said, you know, that up to 50, I was saying to the team, well, right now, if you think about it, if the 50, we should be able to bring 50 participants in, but we don't have the space to do that.
Right.
You know, exactly. Thinking about safety. So that's, it has been a part of the conversation, Jeff. Thank you so much for the question.
You know, relative to Jeff, and I agree, I just think that, you know, for us to have the state of the art capacity to do virtual learning is going to be what distinguishes us from others. And to have the support from technicians and the training of our staff to be able to do that is going to be very important. And I think that we might need to have that featured in our development plan for next year. Anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I want to move on. I don't have anything else to add as a chairman's report. And with that, I'm going to move on to Jeff and ask Jeff to enlighten us or share with us that which he might want us to know about the foundation.
So the foundation's still there. and we are definitely meeting.
$10,000 richer.
What's that?
$10,000 richer.
$5,000.
I'm getting there. Come on now. Don't steal all my thunder, for heaven's sake.
$5,000 to CERC. I want the money.
So I'll start off with the yes, we have some $10,000 in unrestricted funds from the Graustein Foundation. We accepted it unanimously by the board and did it without a meeting. We just did it through a policy that we have where we can accept these kinds of things. It was kind of cool. Matter of fact, I just signed off on that, I think, late last week. We are in the middle of taking a look at bylaw revisions that we needed to make based on how we're meeting, when we're meeting, and different things around that. Michelle and Sarah have gone over some of these with our external counsel, making sure that we have an operation in place that is ready to do business as it needs to do business. And then we'll be kind of taking a look at a final version of all this in our June meeting. And then in terms of everything that we've been talking about getting ready for the future, CERC has draft MOAs for our cohort A and B of the Graustein project. And again, I think our emphasis as well is on making sure we're flexible and getting ready to do the work we have to do in whatever way it needs to be done as we move forward. So looking forward as being part of that as always. And other than that, that's where we're at right now.
Thank you. We have completed our agenda. Are there other information or questions that individuals have? Anything for the good of the order? I just want to thank you all for accommodating this virtual meeting. I guess we'll get better at this, although I have to say this wasn't so bad. I want to thank the staff, particularly the committee chairs and the people who we don't get to see every day, for really the high quality work, the commitment that you've given to the organization and board members alike. I appreciate it, and I want you all to know, particularly staff, Ingrid, that you have our confidence as we move forward and our willingness to assume the burden that we have to assume in order to make sure that CERC is continuing to support the education of our in our state. So with that, I unless there's unless there are other comments, I'll have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you very much. We have a motion to adjourn. Please stay safe until next time. Otherwise, take care.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Bye, everybody.